The first thing that you should tell people before you even get into a Vart is that it's a tremendous thing that these people are staying at home in their houses waiting for people to come collect, because every year there's people that run away from this, and they go out of town, they go to their friends, they go to a party, they do whatever they can to get away from the guys that are coming to collect, because they don't like it. So the truth of the matter is that if you look in Megillus Rus, the truth of the matter is that this precedent was set a long time ago, and that was with Machlein and Chilion. Machlein and Chilion were the two big virim in Eretz Yisrael when everybody else was broke, and they got sick of everybody constantly coming to them for tzedakah, so they ran away. They ended up marrying Rus and Nami. Rus and, who was the other one?
It is Nami. Nami, then the whole thing was...
No, it wasn't, yeah, who was it? Nami was the mother-in-law. It was Rus, and it was, Arpa and Rus were the two princesses, the Gaisha princesses that they married when they went down there, and then both these guys dropped dead. So you see, the Megillus Rus at least is telling you that, you know, the guys, the rich people that run away because they can't stand giving tzedakah, so... The Megillus Rus tells you what happens to them. They drop dead, they leave over poor widows, but the people that stick around to take a chayis for Klal Yisrael and get tzedakah, so fakarat, we know that tzedakah is tatzel mimavetz, and tzedakah is the biggest chus. So it's time, it's a good thing to start off with. But just a cute vart in the Megillah, it says in Megillus Esther that when Haman came to the party, Haman came avel v'chafoy roish. He came a mourner, and he came with his head covered. And the Gemara Megillah darshins, what's Avel and what's Chafoy Rosh? So the Gemara Megillah says that Avel is because, Chafoy Rosh is because when his daughter saw him leading this guy on the king's horse with all the fancy things, so she thought that the guy on the horse was Haman and the guy leading the horse was Mordechai. And in reality, it was in the reverse. In reality, Haman was leading the horse, and Mordechai was on the horse. So she went and dumped the garbage, the toilet that they used to use, she dumped that out on the head of the guy who was leading the horse, thinking it's Mordechai. And really, it wasn't Mordechai, really it was Haman. So the Gemara says that's why he came to the party Chafoy Rosh. Why did he come Avel? Because when she saw that she dumped the garbage on him, so what happened was she jumped off and she committed suicide. So the obvious kasha is that if that's what happened, so when did Haman become an Avel? Only after he became Chafoy Rosh. Because first he got covered with the stuff from the toilet from his daughter, and then when his daughter saw who she did it to, then she committed suicide. So if that's what happened, so first he was Chafoy Rosh, and then he was Avel. Not Avel first and then Chafoy Rosh. So why does it say in the Megillah that first that Haman came Avel v'Chafoy Rosh? It should say Haman came Chafoy Rosh v'Avel. So that's the kasha. So the Targum is like this. Taisus in Bava Kamma says that if you take a kli, if you take a keli, let's say a cup, and you throw it off the ceiling, you throw it off the roof. So as soon as it goes off the roof and it's over the space that it's going to break, so we say basamei karazlinen. We say that the kli is as if it's broken the second it's released from your hand. As soon as it's hanging over midair, even if it's 30 stories up, when it's 30 stories up in the air, way before it ever lands, it's already considered like it's broken. But Taisa says, that's only if I throw a kli off the roof. But what happens if I throw something at a kli? Let's say I take an arrow, and I throw the arrow at the kli. So then Taisa says, I can only call that Zarek Chetz, I only say it's Basar Hashdazlin. We only say that it's considered to be broken once it gets hit. The Nafkamina is that if somebody were to come and break the kli, let's say I threw a kli off the roof, and then somebody came and smashed it with a bat, the guy who smashed it with a bat would be putter, because when he hit it, it was already considered broken from the time it was released from your hand. But if you say that it's only considered to be broken once the breaking actually happens, so if somebody threw an arrow at the kli, and then somebody else came along with a bat and hit the kli, the halach would be that the guy who came and hit the kli with the bat would be chayiv, because at the time that he hit the Kli was a regular Kli. There's just an arrow headed for it, but the Kli is not considered broken until the actual Kli is being thrown, and if something's being thrown at the Kli, it's not considered to happen until it actually happens. That's Taisus and Bava Kamma. So come to Chais like this. What happened was that Haman's daughter came and threw the junk, threw the toilet stuff over the roof onto Haman. Haman looked up. So while the stuff was in midair, she jumped out. So now we have two things happening at the same time. We have Ki'ilu, she threw a chetz at Haman. She threw the garbage at Haman. So that's not considered to hit until it actually hits him. And there's also her, that she's like the clay that you threw off the roof, and she's considered broken as soon as she's in midair. So therefore, first he was an Avel, because she already was considered dead when she was in midair. But the stuff wasn't considered to hit Haman until it actually hit him, because that's like throwing an arrow at somebody. And therefore, Haman came first an Avel, and then he came a Chafoi Rosh. Here, okay. So this is a nice yeshiva shavart. Take a couple minutes to go over it. Make sure you get it clear. I guarantee you every Baal Boss will like this one. Okay, I'll give you another one. Agav, again, you got to be careful whose house you're in, but you can point out that the truth of the matter is, if you look in the beginning of the Megillah, you'll see that you take a look at what's going on, and Achashverosh is making a party, and he asks Vashti to come, and Vashti won't come, so he goes into a panic. What should he do? He's asking the advisors. So finally, this guy gets up, Mamuchan, which we know is Haman, and he says that what's going to be if we don't do something drastic now, all the women in the land are all going to be able to do whatever they want. We're going to have women's liberation, so we have to kill her to make sure that women's lib doesn't happen. So the truth of the matter is that if you think about it, so Haman and Achashverosh were right. They were just, you know, they were just a couple thousand years ahead of their time, but the truth of the matter is, they were right. I mean, take a look today. When was the last time that you saw a husband call his wife and she listens to what he says? I mean, so you see that they were about some right. They were just a little bit ahead of their times. Okay, so that's just, again, you got to be careful who you say this in front of, but if you're only talking to the husband and you're not talking to the wife, then, you can use this.
It depends on what type of husband he is.
Right.
I want to tell you a little secret.
Okay, now, another cute part is with the Ashkenazim and the Sephardim. It says there's a machlokes in Kedushin, whether you can be Mekadosh, Peshava Kesef, when you're Mekadosh, Peshava Kesef, how that works. Because the obvious problem is that you're making a Maisa Kedushin, which looks like a Kinyan. It looks like you're buying something. And the problem is that with Chalipin, it has to be Shava B'Shava generally. It has to be something that's worth whatever it is. The two things have to basically have the same value. So how is it that I give a Pruta and I'm a Kaddish Anisha? So the Rashba and the Ritva and Kedushin both ask this Kasha. And the Rashba says that the Targum says that the Maisa Kedushin is not really such a Maisa Kinyan. The Kedushin is just like a symbolic Kenyan, but it's not actually a Maisa Kenyan. The Ritva says, Akaina Isha, Kikaina Odin Liatzmai Dami. A person who gets himself a wife is getting himself a master. So therefore the Ritva says that all you have to give for Kedushin is a Pruta. Because once you get a wife, she's going to be calling all the shots around the house. So Mamela, she's the one in control. So what's the machlik is the Rajba and the Ritva? So the machlik is the Rajba and the Ritva is that the Rajba was a Sephardi. So the Sephardim always had their wives under control. So the Rajba never would have entertained such a Havmina. But the Ritva, when he was in his younger days, he learned in the Ashkenazi yeshivas. He was a Talmud of the Bali Ataisvis, and the later Bali Ataisvis, and he was a Talmud of the Rush. So, I think it's Talmud of the Rush. For sure, Talmud in the Ashkenazi yeshivas. So the Ritva was looking. The Ritva presumably married a Litvisha girl, and a Litvisha girl was taka kakaynog miyatsmai dummy. It was a wife who ruled the roost. But the Rashba had his wife under control. He was a Sephardi. Everything was beseder. So I told this once to a Sephardi Talmud Chacham. So he asked me the obvious kasha. The halacha is that by haseba, the halacha is that a chash of a lady is supposed to recline by the is allowed to recline by the seder. A regular lady isn't, but a chash of a lady that's married, so a chash of a lady is allowed to recline. So
before they're married, they're not
allowed to
recline.
No, that's a different issue. But when they have a husband, the issue is when they have a husband, so a chash of a lady doesn't recline. So the Mechaber says
why?
That because of the fear of her husband. So the Mechaber says that all of our Nashim are Nashim Chashuvos. So therefore, they all should recline. So the Rama says it's not true, and they shouldn't recline. So what's the Machlokes, the Mechaber, and the Rama? So the Sfaradi tells me, you see, that by us, Fakar, the Nashim are Chashuvos, but by you guys, the Nashim are not. But of course, the emes is that the mamish going l'shitasam, because the guy whose wife always listens to him, she's the most chashuv wife in the world, and therefore all of them should recline. So the mechaber was a Sfardi. So the mechaber said that our wives are all chashuvim. Who ever heard of a Sfardi wife that didn't obey her husband? But the Rama was by the Ashkenazim. The Rama said, "What are you talking about? We've got a bunch of kadosh miyatsmas dummy." So it's impossible that they're all chashuv people that should all be doing a seva. So therefore, the Rama l'shitas and the mechaber l'shitas. Kum techais. That was the machlokes that Haman. So that's what was going on here. Haman is telling Achashverosh, like the Ashkenazim, but like the Sfaradim rather. Haman is telling him, listen, we got to control the women, and if you're not careful, you're going to have a woman's lib on your hands. But Achashverosh, you see Lahedya, that the way his wife was talking to him, it's impossible that that man was a genuine Sfaradi. Obviously Achashverosh had Litvish roots or something, because the way she's called, the Gemara says that the way she answered him back was the stable boy who it was in my father's house, can't even hold his wine a little bit. My father used to drink 100 times more than him, and he was fine. So you see that Achashverosh was obviously the Ashkenazi Mahalach, and Haman was the Sephardi Mahalach. And the biggest raya, and the biggest raya that you see that Haman had what to be scared about is because the Gemara says that the Bnei Banim of Haman learned Torah in Bnei Brak. Now, when was the last time that you saw a Kohl guy whose wife didn't run the show? So you see, the Haman knew exactly what he was. He knew exactly what he was talking about when he said we've got to have the women under control. So anyway, as they come to us, the only thing is that even by Haman, you have to remember that in the Mice of Purim, who was ultimately the one who told him what to do? It was his wife who told him to build the gallows. And of course, when you listen to your wife, look what ends up happening. All right. So anyway, that's just a little bit of cute Tayyidika Litzanis from the Megillah. Stop just now. If you look in Chumash by Ene Leah, when the Pasuk is describing Leah for the first time, the Pasuk says that Rachel was a beautiful girl, and Ene Leah were rakais. They were, so the Pashat of Pshat that everybody says is that she had been crying tears because she thought she was going to be marrying Esav. But if you look at the Evan Ezra brings from the Binu Ephraim that really what happened was that the pasuk is missing an aleph, and really you should say Eini Leah Arukais, that the eyes of Leah were long, and it's just a physical description of her eyes, but not that she was crying about anything, and it's just describing a physical attribute to show her beauty. So the Evan Ezra says on the Ben Ephraim that the only one missing an aleph is the Ben Ephraim, that the Ben Ephraim shouldn't be a Ben Ephraim, he's a Ben Parim. He's a son of cows. You take a look in the Evan Ezra, it's before us. So if you look, that's the Rabbeinu Ephraim. Now the Ben Ephraim brings that when it says Ar Haman, so there's a machlekes when you drink, how much do you have to drink? Do you have to drink Mamish Ad Lo Yada Ben Ar Haman Baruch Mordechai or not? So one of the pshatim that's brought is that it's until you can't cheshbin gematrius anymore, because Ar Haman and Baruch Mordechai are the gematria are one off from each other. So one of the pshatim that's brought that you have to drink until the point that you can't cheshbin mathematically anymore enough to be able to cheshbin gematrius. So the Ben Ephraim says that it's not true, that's not the shir. So what's the pshat? The Ben Ephraim says this because the Ben Ephraim is obviously going l'shitasa, because if you're not going to be able to cheshbin gematria, so you're going to be calling him a Ben Parim like the Evan Ezra wants to do, and he doesn't want to be the son of Kaos, he wants to be the son of Ephraim, and therefore he tells you that you have a different shir in order to drink on Parim.